Now, it is time for Cover Your Assets with Jim Lynch. Jim is an independent voice on the Wall Street, the economy, sports, politics, many years of experience to these subjects and more. Ladies and gentlemen, through the magic of radio and hopefully telephone, it's Jim Lynch. Good morning, Jim.
And good morning to you. I thought you would begin with good morning, sunshine, and thank you, everybody, to the real world of life and living.
I'm going to tell you what I told our audience earlier on. I received a letter yesterday when I got home from the Internal Revenue Service. Now, it's not, you never like to receive a letter from the Internal Revenue Service unless there's a check in it. And my stimulus money came via electronic transfer. So I opened up the IRS letter, and it's actually from the White House, from my good friend Donald Trump, letting me know that my check was sent out by him. The only thing I said about this is I think this letter would be nice to people who receive actual checks in the mail from them. But I think for the 35 to 50 million people that have automatic deposits, it's a little redundant and probably a waste of about $25 million. But with that being said, Mr. Lynch, how are you this morning?
Well, the interesting thing is, you know, our beloved president is only trying to support the post office before he puts it out of business. Anyhow, well, I'm glad you got your letter. And I hope everybody has been getting their letters.
Well, I've had people respond to me. Well, at least you got a letter. I got nothing so far. People have responded to me so far.
How did you just get your letter.
What does your letter say?
Remember that song, Take a Letter, Maria?
Yeah. My letter on one side is in Spanish, and on one side it says, your economic impact payment has arrived. It arrived 2 weeks ago. Like I said, I don't mind the president taking a little credit and sending out a letter, but do it with the checks that actually go out, not to somebody that's received it.
Yeah, I think, absolutely, I agree with you. I think that there's, shall we say, some literama about who gets those letters.
Nobody wanted to take the time to see who's on electronic. That's what it was. Nobody wanted to take the time to see who got their funds electronically. But that still adds up to a lot of money. It adds up to.
Oh, yeah, and not to mention the number of dead people who have probably gotten those so forth, you know, who are on. But that, what you got, that's pretty interesting because what you got is for people who aren't.
Yeah.
And I don't know how that happened.
It was just one of those weird
things.
You're
a lucky guy.
Yeah, I always love to see his signature. That's right.
Now, I don't want you to feel too badly. Poor Melania Trump, President Trump, sent out a what comes down to looking for campaign contributions and people's IDs to send them Republican campaign literature. Melania celebrated her 50th birthday, and so he sent a letter to people saying, oh, you know, help me celebrate a surprise birthday for my wife, and by the by, let me have your cell phone, your fax number, and so forth, because we'll probably want to send you a lot of literature from the Republican National Committee to give donations to our upcoming campaign. The man, indeed, he is beyond crassness. He is setting new levels. They're all lower levels, but quite a shame. However, let's begin with this thing that I'm going to say, which is I saw this on the Facebook the other day from a friend of ours, and it goes this way. It's very simplistic. Hope and fear. Hope and fear cannot exist in your consciousness at the same time. So, looking at all of the things we're looking at, well beyond even the damage the president has done to people and the economy, let's try and focus on hope. Not a meaningless hope, but a hope for the best for yourself and your families and our community and, frankly, the world. But it's really interesting if you focus hope, fear, cannot exist at the same time. And as you've known, if you've heard me speak on this show a few times, I'm really not, shall we say, overly optimistic about a lot of things. And so I don't point this out willy-nilly. I just point it out as a very practical way of addressing so many things that's going on. And while I'm on it, the other thing is I've seen Stephanie Ruhle, an MSNBC person, very talented woman, came out of Wall Street, now does broadcasting for them. She did something which I've seen a number of times, but I happen to recollect her name, which is taking a deep breath, a concentrated deep breath, a meditative deep breath periodically to help get you back to a calmer state, a better state for yourself. That said, let's move into the market for a second. This administration has lied consistently about everything under the sun just to make themselves look better. But I really hope that you don't believe this baloney that, we're going to go back to work. And as Mike Pence said yesterday, sometime around Memorial Day, we'll really have our hands on this and so forth and so on. Folks, these people don't have a clue. They don't have the moral rectitude, fortitude to deal properly with the situation. So when you hear this stuff and the stock market's a little better, forget it. Do not buy the stock market based on a reopening of the economy, because it's not going to happen to any large degree. It's fraught with problems such as a rebirth in some areas of this virus. And more importantly, the damage to this economy will be considered somewhat akin to that occurred in the Depression of the 30s and 1930s. And it took us a world war, the GI Bill, and everything else to come out of that in the 40s, in the late 40s. We went into that depression in 1931. It rallied a little bit, and then when we back into it in 1937. So you can't sugarcoat this thing. Don't let the government, Trump, etc., Mnuchin, liars all, sugarcoat this in terms of you saying, I'm going to buy some stock and so forth. You want to buy some stock, you're going to have plenty of time to buy stock at much lower levels or even higher levels when there's something to rationally buy the stock or the bond or whatever. One of them would be getting this thing under control, which is a long way from happening. The other thing is the creation of a vaccine or vaccines that can be given to us. But I have no faith whatsoever, and I don't think you should either, in the federal government doing anything in a concrete fashion that will begin to restore our confidence, is why people are going to become savers rather than consumers.
Well, that's what you're saying here is, and here's, I'm going to fault some of the people that on Wall Street, and I'm going to fault the networks for not pushing the story. Yes, we do want to follow the curve. We want to see what happens each day with deaths, hospital admissions, recovery. I mean, that is of interest to every American because it gives you a basic idea where we're going. But what the media and what our government and what Wall Street has not really emphasized is everybody's emphasizing on now, what's happening now and what's happening in the next week or two. What people have to really push there, and this is, and the reason this comes up to me, and I want to talk about this today, is that for the past several weeks, I've been following occasional stories about one food processing plant, another one, and now all of a sudden, yesterday, the food processing plants put out a big press release saying that, hey, we've got four major different food processing plants that are going to be shut down. Other ones are going to be shut down along the way. This is going to affect the food chain. We should have been talking about this back at the beginning so people don't get surprised by it because that's what Americans do, and a panic sets in. And what I'm saying here is, the people in charge, Wall Street and the government and in media, should prepare people for the long-term effects of what we're going through, not just these short-term effects.
And the role of the role is to inform. And I got to say, no one's getting a passing grade on that, because they sit and they stay in the moment. They've got a completely captive audience at this point who has lost. Essentially, it's like being in a casino. People have lost sense of day, time, place, anything. And they're just being bludgeoned. No one is being given. It is like having a very bad camp counselor or group leader.
You know, Jim, and you have the experience, Jim, of going through a lot of ups and downs with your dealing with the markets. You also have experience from studying and knowing about the Depression. You also have knowledge because you read books and articles about lots of different pandemics that have come and gone. And really, the best we can do now is look long-term and prepare for what's going to be a very rough year and a half to 2 years, much rougher than coming out of the last financial crisis, as a matter of fact.
You're absolutely right.
But what you need to do is give people tools to deal with it. Not
tools and confidence,
right? And it's, you know, that doesn't sell as well as anxiety and fear. I loved your hope and fear from Facebook. I know more people who have been just feared into oblivion on Facebook. But that's okay. You know, it's not a climate that encourages hope. Because you're in...
It's not, but we have to discipline ourselves. We have the power within ourselves, within these brains that God gave us, to focus. Just take a point in time that is hopeful and focus on it. The fact that many people out there, have been intelligent enough to take the good information from the scientist and act on it vis-a-vis safety precautions, and go like a market that's moving up. Take that and build on it, and build on these little children you see running around your household or grandma's house, and how lovely they are and how much fun they are, and build on your own health. And the health of others, and look on the television for something that is probably the best thing we've ever seen regarding these folks who are the defenders. They are the people on the front lines, the emergency people, the doctors. Do you realize if we didn't have all these human beings who courageously go out and put their life on the line, we got about 50,000 people dead. We'd have a 500,000 dead at this time. So just look at that and say, hey, there is something in the human spirit, in humanity, that is so magnificent. Let's look at that. Let's bring it into ourselves. Let's say, okay, if they can do it, if they have the courage to go in and help all these people in dire straits, why can't I have the courage to be a little bit more hopeful? Be a little bit more pragmatic, to be a little bit more sharing and giving. So it's there. In terms of the news and so forth, I totally agree with you, okay? And I thought we were almost at the cusp this past week of the networks turning Trump off. Trump must be turned off. He is a liar. He is a liar. There are reports out. If he had responded to aggressively in January, when it was in the papers, the daily briefings he get, we would probably have, I say 60%, some people say 90%, less deaths than we have now. The networks must cut this man off. We saw when he came out and said, hey, Clorox, what the hell, give it a shot, you know? Maryland, Larry Hogan, a Republican governor. Hundreds of people were calling the poison hotline. Oh, should I take this thing? I'm waiting for, and I have a suspicion it's being worked on, some kind of class action suit against Trump / the U.S. government for using his office, the office of the government, to kill people, to make people sick, etc. I don't know if it goes anywhere, particularly at this juncture with Barr, his front man, but I'm telling you, when he gets kicked out of office, one way or another, this is just another thing that people are going to come after him with. Which is why he is being so disingenuous and panicking. He doesn't want to lose the office, because once he does, he'll go to jail. If not a federal prison, then a state prison, a New York state prison.
Now, I want to jump in on what the president said the other day. And here's the problem with what the president said the other day. He was at the last minute given by, and I don't know why the advisors did this, because he's a person that goes on the fly and he had no facts. Everybody knows that we inject, when people have lung problems and things like that, there are drugs that are put into lungs. There are things that, not disinfectants, but there are things that are put into lungs. So the man finds out about different treatments, and he gets out there, and then he starts winging it because he's Donald Trump. And instead of saying the proper thing, he says, once again, disinfectants. And because he knows nothing about light therapy, I had a guy, a doctor around here, many years ago, treat me with light therapy on my ankles and legs, and it was extremely successful. But Donald Trump doesn't know about this because he's not a doctor, and he goes about talking things, and he looks like the emperor with no clothes. And this is the problem with having a staff around you that just does not know how to deal with things like this. And I said it from the beginning. Am I a big Trump supporter? No, I don't like what Donald Trump's done. But he should never be out in front. If they're going to have these daily briefings, it should just be the experts. And then if he wants to say something elsewhere where he wants to make his pronouncements, do that. The public will be much better served that way, because you can't let him loose on a live mic and give him information at the last minute, because he runs with it and he shows truly, truly how out of touch he is with the medical side and with the scientific side. There's enough blame to go around there. And hopefully he will just back away. He can do his tweet whenever he wants. He shouldn't just do this during these important sessions, which are meant to make Americans feel like there's progress being made, whether there is or not, and that there's hope ahead, whether there is or not. You know, that's the big problem of what's going on with our government right now at the top with these daily briefings, and that's why the American people tend to swing from one swing to another thing, Jim.
You're very correct. But this is where, as Jill has brought up to us many times regarding the news, the press, the television, people have just got to grab hold and take responsibility for themselves and just get real in terms of information. You know, if you've seen Trump more than once on television, bloviating, congratulating himself. I mean, you got to know he's a phony. Some of his information on some of this drug stuff comes from Larry Ellison of Oracle. What does he know about drugs? And there's another guy, Geron, I think his name is. These are people who are looking to sell a product. Trump is in this for himself, folks, to make money. Jared Kushner. I mean, the man is dumb. He's stupid. And Trump says, okay, Jared, let's do this. But why? They're trying to make money. Kirshner's brother has a company involved in health care products, all right? There was a time in the beginning of the year where they didn't do something, the government, because they were kind of waiting to see if this firm called Oscar had developed a product. You are being victimized, everybody, by Donald Trump and his grifter family.
Jim?
Yes?
There, you know, here's the good news. There is an election very soon. So we're
maybe.
No, there is an election very soon. Well, New York State didn't. Did they cancel their primary or delay it?
Yeah, they canceled their primary.
All right, so Bernie doesn't get some delegates. Oh, well. So long short, we are, and you could tell when we were actually turning the virus curve, because all sorts of political stuff started appearing fast and furiously. So the point is, we're in business. It's election season. You kind of don't, it's not that you don't have to worry, but looking ahead, this is another thing that's coming up. So when you're trying to get people, you know, to do what they need to do, one of the things that they have to factor in is there's a whole political component.
All right, we have about 2 minutes left, Jim, for you to wrap this up and make us feel better.
Oh, doctor.
I know. That's quite a thing for you to do in 2 minutes.
Well, I won't be recommending Clorox this morning. maybe some milk and Wheaties. Anyhow, you know, I'm looking out. It's sunshine. My daughter had sunshine 2 days ago in Indiana, and she said, "Don't worry, Dad, I'm sending it your way." There's always sunshine. We always have to remember our life. We have a life. It's so incredible. It's hard, I think, sometimes to really get essence of what we have. We're beings. And I guess we all take it for granted. Somehow we got here and whatever. But you have to really internalize more on the things that you have, be it your life, your wife, your children, your friends. And on that score, you just have to talk more to your friends. You have to do Zoom, Skype, whatever, to connect to grandchildren and so forth. You've got to lift yourself. It's there. There's a lot of smog and mug out there, but you can get beyond it. You have the tools to do it. And so do it, that's all. And we'll get through this. We'll get through this. We got through the Depression in the 30s, the Second World War, Korea, Vietnam, et cetera, et cetera. And you got to stand up tall, pull up your boots, and love yourself and love your kids, and get out there and talk it up with people. Not necessarily about the politics. Talk up the art. Talk up a book. Talk up what you want for your kids. Talk up about hopefully the oil industry going into clean air technology, which is an idea I actually proposed with a friend of mine in New Zealand yesterday in answering some question he had. The point is, God bless you. You best yourself as you go through the day. We'll talk to you next week.
All right,
bye-bye.
Take care, Jim. Jim Lynch and Cover Your Assets here on Robinhood Radio, also available online, robinhoodradio.com. Click on On Demand. Jim Lynch, Cover Your Assets.